The WLEW, News and Public Affairs Department, now presents What Do You Think? Here's your host, Craig Routson, with today's topic.
Good morning. Our guest in the studio today is Don McKimmy. He's with the Michigan Moose Association. We're going to be talking about the Youth Awareness Program. It is available for kids in the 9th to 12th grades, and it can offer them some scholarship money, and they get to do some public speaking and all the good things that go with that. Thanks for being with us today.
Thank you, Craig.
First of all, why don't we just talk about the Moose Association? Does it have anything to do with moose, or is it just, the figurehead is on your emblem?
The only thing with moose is that it's a majestic animal, and its actions are what we chose to be or to try and emulate for protection of the herd, and in other words, protection of our communities.
With that rack, it's hard to hold your head high, but they seem to do it.
They do, yes.
And basically, the Moose Association of Michigan covers the Michigan chapters, but there are all over the country and internationally now.
Yes, there are associations all over the United States. And we do have lodges in Bermuda, and there are some in England.
Do they even know what a moose is outside a zoo?
That's hard to say. I don't know. I haven't really talked to anyone from Bermuda.
It's an excuse to have the organization send you to Bermuda. Hey, there.
Well,
you go.
The thing is that the organization doesn't pay for my trips to go places.
Okay. But the association is countrywide, international.
International, Canada, United States, England, even Australia.
And what kind of is its focus? I know there's a social aspect, you guys get together and that, but there's usually some other aspect or work that people like to do in these organizations, whether it's for the community, whether it's for kids, whether it's for both.
Primarily, it's for community. Our major obligation is to support our school at Moose Heart, which is about 40 miles west of Chicago. Then we have Moose Haven, which is near Jacksonville, Florida. And there we have the older people who just need some place to go when they retire and haven't got the means to do it themselves.
It sounds like, you know, it's good programs there. Space would probably be limited. Is it more for people who have been associated with the Moose organization, or is it based on need? Or?
It started out with people who were associated with the Moose. Now with the application, there are some others who can get in there if they really need it. And we have state-of-the-art medical care back 10 years ago, we started the project, and we put up the new medical center, which cost over $16 million. And it was all funds raised by the Moose Lodges.
And that's part of what you do through the year is fundraisers?
Yes,
and
fundraisers and, work for the community.
And what type of fundraisers do you do? When you think of it in sort of a lodge situation, are you just doing it with, guards at the lodge, or do you do other things out in the community as well?
There are other things. We have the meals that we do at the lodge to raise money, and then I seem to get into are raffles, and raffles being a licensed thing, we can sell to anybody, and it works out rather nicely in raising money.
How many lodges are so in the state?
Right? In the state of Michigan, we have 83 lodges.
Scattered around?
Scattered around. Most of them in the Lower Peninsula. I think there's five left in the UP.
Yeah, because I was thinking, we have 83 counties, but in the UP, you're probably stretched pretty thin.
Stretched thin. I could tell you where they are in the UP. There's one in Manistique, one in Sault Ste. Marie, one in St. Ignace, one in Munising, and one in Drummond Island.
And long-established ones that have, kept their membership up.
Yes, they are. They're just, being a volunteer organization, that's where the problem comes in, and sometimes just can't raise enough funds to keep the bills paid.
How do you... I don't think recruit is the word, but how do you gain new members? Is it word of mouth mainly?
Primarily word of mouth, yes. If we find somebody that we think would be a good member, we can take them into the lodge and sign them in, and find out, you know, show them what's going on. And that's the way we do it, or try to do it.
Do you have to have a current member recommend you, or are there procedures in that?
When you fill out the application, yes, a member has to sign it or sponsor you, and then it has to be endorsed. And we do check the people too. There's a background check.
That so, you sign a little waiver for. Yeah, you can do the check to make sure you're not getting somebody who's looking to take some of your funds and go south.
Hopefully, but that's happened anyhow.
Well, it happens in any organization.
Yes.
It's not just yours. Yeah. Any organization, you'll find people trying to take advantage of it. But the import is the socialization, the community, bringing the community together, and in the youth awareness program is helping you.
Yes. And with the youth awareness program, we try and get students in high school to give presentations to 4 to 9 year olds. A program that started out back in the 80s. First Lady Nancy Reagan wanted some help in spreading the word of Just Say No to Drugs.
That does take you back a ways, doesn't it?
Yes, it does. So she did ask the Moose to help out, because the Moose organization was community involved. And so they started out with the program. But later on, they found that, there's more opportunities or more things that maybe the students should know. And so we expanded it and called it the Youth Awareness Program. And now we can do topics such as nutrition, hydration, bullying, firearm safety.
Facing.
Yeah,
the things that are
out there in the world today, yes.
Or are going to face in the near future if they aren't getting it already. And the students do this as part of an effort to help the kids, but also to help themselves in the way of funding for scholarships. And so
it helps with funding for scholarships. It also helps in building character in the student who's doing the presentations, as well as the young people learning something that can help them out in the future life.
And you were telling me, you know, that there are, you know, big scholarships when you get to the end of the trail, but every person who participates, after every 3 presentations they make, they're starting to earn a little bit of cash towards their education.
Correct. Once they do 3 presentations, and they have to write up a report on each one, after 3 presentations, their name goes into a drawing for scholarships. For every presentation and report they do after that, their name goes into the drawing again. But also, if they do 3 presentations, they are awarded with $50. If they go on and do 12 presentations with reports, they'll get another $100. And then the one who does the most presentations in the state over 12 will get another $100. So there's some cash money involved, but also the scholarships. At the state level, we guarantee 2 $1,000 scholarships and 2 $500 scholarships. So that's what comes from the drawings. Now, there are other scholarships that come about. Our district, we have a $500 scholarship. So a student that goes through our program would get or be eligible for the $500 scholarship. And sometimes there was only one student.
Now, it also seems this would be a benefit in your college application, because they're always looking for people who are involved in the community, who are out there doing things as opposed to just the scholastics.
Yes.
They want well-rounded people in their classes and in their schools, and this can go a long way in, you know, when you're filling out your applications to go to college, when they ask you about the things you do outside of school or in the community, this is a great thing to be able to put in there.
It's a great thing that can be there, and yes, and you know, many students have gone through the program and then they have decided that they want to change their focus on life. I know a number of students that decided that they would go into the education field. Another student was so thrilled with what she was doing that she changed her mind to so that she would go into motivational speaking. She thought that that was a great way to go. And so it does help both the students in the school that go through the program, plus the youth.
And is this a case where, you know, with the younger kids, you know, the older kids, kind of like a peer pressure. What they say may hold a little more than if an adult is standing there going blah, 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 blah.
Well, that's what we figured, is that the students could do a better job, and then, of course, we can help them out for doing it. And so that's why we have the youngsters, or the high school students, because, you know, they're closer in age to the 4 to 9 year olds, and they can relate better.
They've been in that age group not so long ago, and they know what they found to be going on, and it helps to know
that
what
is true.
They're going through now.
Uh-huh.
And when you do this, how do you start? Do you have to put your name in that you want to be involved in this, and then you get screened through the program, and they give you, because you just can't
yes.
say, oh, go out there and talk to classes, and we'll give you credit for it. There has to be some sort of mechanism, because you're giving funds out, and they're supposed to be for education, and you got to keep track of all this stuff.
Right. So what we do, well, there is an application process, but so far we haven't really had to get down to the point where we screen them that way. But we take the students, the high school students, they must attend a local congress. In other words, an orientation session. And there, that's where they learn what they should be doing as far as working toward getting their reports done and when they have to be due and all this sort of thing. So, yeah, we do give them some idea of what they have to do, and then they go from there. They choose their own topic. We don't tell them, okay, you've got to do drugs. That's the topic that you got to work with. No.
But they might ask, what's being done already? We don't
right.
want to duplicate, and you can do
right.
the same classes
that is true.
Over a different topic.
Back a few years ago, yes, it was a little more difficult to get the information they needed. Now, I tell the students, all you have to do is come up with a topic, Google it, and there will be more information there than you'll ever be able to decipher.
Now, when you're going to go into a school, they're going to kind of want to know what you're going to talk about.
Yes.
Is there an outline you have to give the school first? I mean, is this part of the preparation for it? Because they want to make sure what the student's telling
yes.
them is kind of what they
right.
want kids to hear.
Right. Yeah, it's I always... what I had done was to go to the elementary school and talk to the principal and come up with the idea that what the student is talking about and let them know in that respect. And then I would take in a sheet where the teachers could sign up and have a time that the student would go into their classroom and talk. And of course, I was always there for the presentation, so when they gave their first presentation, if there's something I felt that might not be the wise thing to say, that I would tell the students, and you know, we got to change this or change that, and work it in where it's appropriate.
But that's part of the learning curve in this for the older students.
Yes,
is knowing, you know, you may know this works, you know, when you're talking to your friends, but when you're talking to
yeah.
someone younger, or even talking to older people, they may not get the exact, you know, how, you know, kids call things bad, and it's not really bad, it's good, but that's, you know,
right.
the lingo and stuff just
right.
doesn't transfer, and so you want to make sure that the message getting out to everybody that hears it is getting it kind of the same.
Mm-hmm. Well, just like, you know, one time there was a student who was doing his presentations dealing with the bad points on alcohol, and he started with a little video where there was all kinds of crashes and this sort of thing with which I didn't think was quite right for the young 4 to 9 year olds to be watching.
They weren't cartoon crashes.
No, they weren't cartoon crashes, and so
they're the things they give you in driver's
yeah.
ed when they
that's
want to impress
true,
on
yeah.
you about safe driving.
And there was another time that a student doing on alcohol, and he told the students, he said, you know, if you're out with somebody and they've had just one drink, don't get in the car with them. I said, you know, you can't tell those kids something like that, because they will go out to dinner with their parents, and their parents will have a drink, and then what's going to happen if the kid refuses to get in the car? You can't tell them that they got to go against what their parents are telling them to do, you know. It just...
But in the other way, you know, if you tell them, you know, you should always wear a seatbelt, they may remind the parents to wear that seatbelt.
That's true, too. That would work, yes.
So it's all dependent upon the topic and how it's presented.
Yes.
Okay. So and kids, they can, do they contact the Moose Association with the entry forms? Do they contact the local?
They contact the local lodge or someone involved, such as, you know, around here we don't have a local lodge anymore, and so they could contact me, and that would work. If they need a phone number, it's 989-269-8659, and leave a message because we screen our calls.
Well, but it's for 9th to 12th graders.
9th through 12th grade.
And boys and girls.
Boys and girls.
And you come up with the topic, and how long of a presentation do you need to do? I mean, you don't want to bore the kids, but it's got to be long enough to make an impression.
Long enough to make an impression. I tell the students that their presentation probably should not be more than 12 to 20 minutes. And
so it fits in a class.
So it fits in the classroom situation. And
don't want to hold them up from recess or lunch.
So far, I've gotten good reports from the local elementary teachers when the students have been there.
I do a lot of times they see familiar faces. You know, they may start with their own local school that they graduated from because they're familiar
with it. That would be primarily what they would do, would start their own local school and go that way.
The school knows them. They know the type of students they are.
Right. And I've had students who have done the presentations and they're out shopping or something, and some little elementary student come up to them and hug them and say, I remember you, and this sort of thing. So it's helps them as far as their own self-esteem.
And public speaking. That's something I think we're not a lot focusing on today. And I don't mean necessarily having to stand up in front of a crowd, but it just seems like, you know, sometimes with younger people, just carrying on a conversation seems to be difficult sometimes.
Sometimes it is, yes, and definitely
that's
help.
That's a skill you learn. Yes. That's a skill you practice and a skill you learn, and that small talk stuff, you have to know how to do it and make it interesting enough that people stick around.
So many times the students say, well, I really didn't want to get into this, and the first time I was in the classroom, it was really scary to me and this sort of thing. But finally, by the second or third time they go to a classroom, they were comfortable at it.
And it helps them throughout their lives. They know they can talk in front of people, and it's not as scary as we may make it out to be inside. The actual doing of it is just talking.
True, and even adults get scared. I mean, I can relate to it. I think it took 10 years before I was comfortable when the principal came in to evaluate me in the classroom. So it does help, and it gets the students started early. Maybe if I had started early, I would have been better off too.
Okay, and when they get involved in the program, is it done for this year? And we're basically talking about kids getting ready to go to the Congress to learn about what they need to do so they can start in the fall.
What we're talking about is starting in the fall. And so this year is wrapped up for the seniors that graduate now. So next year, we'll take the students, and they must attend a Congress. And our closest local one would be in Carroll. And that probably will be sometime in September, either on a Saturday or Sunday, and we work it that way. Moose International tells us that the Congress should last 6 hours. I find that's a little too long, but maybe if we had a 2.5-hour lunch, it would we could fill up the 6 hours.
Well, I mean, it's probably a mechanism to make sure you're not doing too short.
Right, right.
So that you're not skipping anything that needs to be said.
And, you know, a student is supposed to go to the Congress every year. So
that they continue to participate.
Yes. And, you know,
But you can start as a ninth grader.
A ninth grader.
12th grader.
Yes.
And you can just keep racking up the monetary incentives and
that is
scholarships
true.
Every year from
every
state
year,
or the
yes.
region. And build yourself up a little nest egg before you get to college.
That is correct. You know, as I've thought before, a girl from Houghton Lake was started out as a freshman. She got a $1,000 scholarship from the State Association each year. She went to the International Congress every year, trips that probably she would never been able to take. And then her third year at the International Congress, she got a $3,000 scholarship, and she ended up her final year with a $12,000 scholarship. So it really helped her out.
And that isn't including, is it, the $50 for every three
no.
meetings and stuff? That goes on top of that, too. I mean, these are the big ones, but you still get the incremental ones as you go along.
That is true. And, you know, I think she saved all those little things for her college money, too, is what I believe. But
well, it's what it's for.
Yeah, yeah.
And the organization then gets you the big scholarship money at the end when you're about to enter school, so they know which college is going to be receiving.
We need to, we need to get
make sure that it's going for scholarships.
We get we have to get their letter of acceptance, and then we send the scholarship money right to the college,
and
their name,
some of those costs.
In their name and their student number. So. It goes that way, and it's a good program, and I really enjoy it, and I'd like to see more students get involved.
Does it basically just kick in the first semester? I mean, you know, you're a student there. You got two semesters at least, and, you know, maybe you'd like a little bit each time. Do you work that out beforehand, or do you just send it to the school, and you get a break this time, and next time save up a little more?
I'm not sure how the schools do it. I know that Central, we had a young man from the area went to Central. He had a $500 scholarship, and they broke it up to $250 each semester for his first year. So
you may have to arrange that with the school,
but
it can be done to,
right.
Because, you know, if you're just barely making it now, you don't need the big hit the next time.
Right.
You might be a little stressed out more. And it just is nice to see that scholarship money every time you're applying for another semester.
Yes.
Okay. And how long has the Moose Lodge been around? Is this something that the association's been around for 100 years? How far back do you go?
How far back? Back in the 1880s.
Oh, my gosh.
It was started, and with the Moose, like I said, we have a school outside of Chicago. That got started in 1913, so that's been going over 100 years now.
It's kind of like the best-kept secret in
it seems that way. That's what we've advertised a few times on
service
our...
Service organizations to the community, you're kind of like the best-kept secret around.
It seems that way. I know at first when Huron County got their Moose Lodge, I drove past it a few times wondering what the heck it was. And so I didn't get involved with it. Well, they started in 1989. I got involved in 1995, so... it was a rather widely held secret.
But it is a social type of endeavor.
Yes.
And, you know, everybody knows where they need to be when they need to be.
That is true. And it's great.
Where do you get the funds for scholarships and such? Is this
we
something
have,
that you... I know you have fundraisers, but you were mentioning before when we were talking before the show that... You do meals at the place. You do all kinds of things.
All kinds of things.
And to raise funds.
You know, and sometimes we might even go for donations from local businesses. You know, with different things. We might have a silent auction and just take some object from a business that they donate.
You just take it.
They donate it, yes. And so we put those out, and they go on a silent auction. And so... You know, everything helps, and raffles, that's a big one.
And you kind of do that through the year, but the program will be starting again in the fall for the youth.
Yes,
program.
Yes, we start again in the fall. And
is it good, though, to look up the information now on the Internet, get yourself, you know...
If somebody wanted that option, it would be great.
Gives you a little idea of how many people might be interested, and you know how many, and from where, if you're going to hold your Congress, it might be different places. Then.
It took a while, but I encourage the students to get started as soon as possible. with the earlier congresses in September and all. I said, hey, you know, get going now. You could have a presentation on Halloween safety. And
so you can do it right away at the beginning of the school year. You don't have to wait until you're in school to write it all up when you've got other things going on.
You could have it all written up and be ready
else.
To go, and that would work out great. And then, you know, I also tell them, I said, hey, you know, if you wait until after the first semester, you've only got a few weeks, because I've got to have the reports in by the 15th of February if I'm going to get them judged. I can't look at them and judge them. I'm not allowed to. So I take them to a high school and have the honor students there judge the reports. And so it's the top two that are judged that get to go to the international. And that international, you know, it's all over the United States. And some students are going to be going places that they'd never been before. And, you know, they just never had the chance to get out of the state. So it does help tremendously in that respect.
Should you maybe talk with your school counselor on this? Maybe if you're going to be taking a course like public speaking, you might get some credit for doing this work outside. All of this can go full circle.
I suggest to them, yes, I suggest to the students at the Congress that they talk to the counselor and, you know, let them know that they're working on scholarships. The counselor then can help them when it comes to getting into an elementary school. And also, you know, they're working for scholarships. So that's one thing the counselor is supposed to be helping with. And so help them to get into the elementary school where they can give their presentations. And I also suggest that they maybe go to the speech teacher and give their presentation and have some critique there so that they can understand just how to better do it.
Where you need to
improve and emphasize.
To maybe stress a point in a certain way that will get it across.
Right. And here in Michigan, like I said, you know, I try to encourage them to start as early as possible, because the end of January and February, there's that little white stuff that comes down from the sky, and schools are closed, and so then they miss out on an opportunity to get into the classroom sometimes, because, well, like this past year, with so many days off, a lot of the teachers are in a catch-up mode, and they can't use this extra time for somebody else to come in. So that does create a problem. So that's why I try and encourage them to get done early.
Well, and like if you are already going into your senior year, you get it done early because you have other things that, you know, as you're getting ready for college that you have to focus on and such, and you know, the money helps.
Yes.
Don't be wrong.
That's right. Yeah.
But, you know, you got to know how to apply. You got to get all these other things going, see who's accepting you, and make that big decision.
Yes.
Okay.
And so as far as the International Congress is concerned, there's $30,000 in scholarships they give out each year. The $12,000 scholarship, an $8,000 scholarship, a $5,000 scholarship, a $3,000 scholarship, and a $2,000 scholarship. And this money is all donated through the Moose Legion, so that all the Moose Legions around the country have various fundraisers of different types to get that money appropriated. And not only that, the Moose Legion is also sponsoring a 160-acre camp, another 60 miles west of Moose Heart, where they can go to summer camp. The kids at Moose Heart can go there. And, you know, it's a great thing. It's a great program as far as I'm concerned.
Well, I appreciate you taking the time to let us know. If you go to Michigan Moose Association Youth Awareness Program, Google something like that, you will likely get towards the forums rather quickly.
It would probably give you some, yes, or
just go to the
mooseintl.org.
Is the INTL, like international.
Yeah, the international website, and you know, get the youth awareness program on there, and it should do it.
Sounds like a great plan. It sounds like it helps kids on both ends of the spectrum, those giving the presentations and those receiving it.
That is correct.
And it's a win-win for the community.
I would say so, yes.
Thanks for being with us today. Give us again that phone number.
My phone number is 989-269-8659. And leave a message, like I said, because we screen the calls. We're just getting too many of those telemarketers.
Like everybody else.
Yes.
But leave a message, and you'll get back to them.
I will get back to them with their number.
Get the information they need. Thanks for being with us today.
Thank you, Craig.
I hope you get a good turnout next year. I hope you get
I'm sure hoping so.
And if people are interested in joining a Moose Lodge organization,
I can help them out with that too.
With that too, at the same number. Appreciate it.
All righty. Thank you very much.
Coming up at the top of the hour, we will clue you in on all the latest in the news here at WLEW. Our guest today has been Don McKimmy from the Michigan Moose Association.